Samuel 2:22 through 4. Now Eli was very old, and he heard about everything that his sons were doing to all Israel, and that they slept with the women who served at the doorway of the tent of meeting. So he said to them, "Why are you doing such things as these, the evil things that I hear from all these people? No, my sons, for the report is not good which I hear the Lord's people circulating. If one person sins against another, God will mediate for him. But if a person sins against the Lord, who can intercede for him?" But they would not listen to the voice of their father, for the Lord desired to put them to death. Now the boy Samuel was continuing to grow and to be in favor both with the Lord and the people. Then a man of God came to Eli and said to him, "This is what the Lord says. Did I indeed not reveal myself to the house of your father when they were in Egypt in bondage to Pharaoh's house? Did I not choose them from all the tribes of Israel to be my priests, to go up to my altar, to burn incense, to carry an ephod before me? And did I not give to the house of your father all the fire offerings of the sons of Israel? Why are you showing contempt for my sacrifice and my offering which I have commanded for my dwelling? And why are you honoring your sons above me, by making yourselves fat with the choicest of every offering of my people Israel? Therefore, the Lord God of Israel declares, I did indeed say that your house and the house of your father was to walk before me forever. But now the Lord declares, far be it from me, for those who honor me I will honor, and those who despise me will be insignificant. Behold, the days are coming when I will eliminate your strength and the strength of your father's house, so that there will not be an old man in your house, and you will look at the distress of my dwelling, in spite of all the good I do for Israel, and there will never be an old man in your house. Yet I will not cut off every man of yours from my altar, so that your eyes will fail from weeping, and your soul grieve, and all the increase of your house will die in the prime of life. And this will be the sign to which you will come in regard to your two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. On the same day both of them will die, but I will raise up for myself a faithful priest who will do according to what is in my heart and my soul, and I will build him an enduring house, and he will walk before my anointed always, and everyone who is left in your house will come to bow down to him for a silver coin or a loaf of bread, and say, please assign me to one of the priest's offices, so that I may eat a piece of bread. Now the boy Samuel was attending to the service of the Lord before Eli, and word from the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were infrequent. But it happened at that time Eli was lying down in his place. Now his eyesight had begun to be poor, and he could not see well. And the lamp of God had not yet gone out. And Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, that the Lord called Samuel. And he said, here I am. Then he ran to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. But he said, I did not call. Go back and lie down. So he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, Samuel. So Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. But he said, I did not call. My son, go back and lie down. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor had the word of the Lord been revealed to him. So the Lord called Samuel again for the third time. And he got up and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy, and Eli said to Samuel, go, lie down, and it shall be if he calls you, that you shall say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Then the Lord came and stood, and called as at the other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. Then the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I am going to do a thing in Israel, and both ears of everyone who hears about it will ring. On that day I will carry out against Eli everything that I have spoken in regard to his house, from beginning to end. For I have told him that I am going to judge his house forever for the wrongdoing that he knew, because his sons were bringing a curse on themselves, and he did not rebuke them. Therefore I have sworn to the house of Eli that the wrongdoing of Eli's house shall never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering." So Samuel lay down until morning. He opened the doors of the house of the Lord. But Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. Then Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." And he said, "Here I am." He said, "What is the word that he spoke to you? Please, do not hide it from me. May God do the same to you, and more so, if you hide a single word from me of all the words that he spoke to you." So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, "He is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." Now Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and he let none of his words fail. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was confirmed as a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again at Shiloh, because the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord. So the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Now Israel went out to meet the Philistines in battle, and they camped beside Ebenezer, while the Philistines camped at Aphek. Then the Philistines drew up in battle formation to meet Israel. When the battle spread, Israel was defeated by the Philistines, who killed about 4,000 men on the battlefield. When the people came into the camp, the elders of Israel said, "Why has the Lord defeated us today before the Philistines? Let's take the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord from Shiloh, so that he may come among us and save us from the power of our enemies." So the people sent men to Shiloh. And from there they carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of Armies, who is enthroned above the cherubim. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the Ark of the Covenant of God. And as the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord was coming into the camp, all Israel shouted with a great shout, so that the earth resounded. And when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, "What does the noise of this great shout in the camp of the Hebrews mean?" Then they understood that the Ark of the Lord had come into the camp. So the Philistines were afraid, for they said, "God has come into the camp." And they said, "Woe to us, for nothing like this has happened before. Woe to us, who will save us from the hand of these mighty gods? These are the gods who struck the Egyptians with all kinds of plagues in the wilderness. Take courage and be men, Philistines, or you will become slaves to the Hebrews, as they have been slaves to you. So be men and fight." So the Philistines fought, and Israel was defeated, and every man fled to his tent. And the defeat was very great, for 30,000 foot soldiers of Israel fell. Moreover, the Ark of God was taken, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, died. Now a man of Benjamin ran from the battle line and came to Shiloh the same day with his clothes torn, and dust on his head. When he came, behold, Eli was sitting on his seat by the road keeping watch, because his heart was anxious about the Ark of God. And the man came to give a report in the city, and all the city cried out. When Eli heard the noise of the outcry, he said, "What does the noise of this commotion mean?" Then the man came hurriedly and told Eli. Now Eli was 98 years old, and his eyes were fixed, and he could not see. The man said to Eli, "I am the one who came from the battle line. Indeed, I escaped from the battle line today." And he said, "How are things, my son?" Then the one who brought the news replied, "Israel has fled before the Philistines, and there has also been a great defeat among the people. And your two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, are also dead, and the Ark of God has been taken." When he mentioned the Ark of God, Eli fell off the seat backward beside the gate, and his neck was broken, and he died, for he was old and heavy. And so he judged Israel for 40 years. Now his daughter-in-law, Phinehas's wife, was pregnant and about to give birth. And when she heard the news that the Ark of God had been taken, and that her father-in-law and her husband had died, she kneeled down and gave birth, because her pains came upon her. And about the time of her death, the women who were standing by her said, "Do not be afraid, for you have given birth to a son." But she did not answer or pay attention, and she named the boy Ichabod, saying, "The glory has departed from Israel," because the Ark of God had been taken, and because of her father-in-law and her husband. So she said, "The glory has departed from Israel, because the Ark of God has been taken." Mark 9. And Jesus was saying to them, "Truly I say to you, there are some of those who are standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God when it has come with power." And 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, and brought them up on a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his garments became radiant and exceedingly white, as no launderer on earth can whiten them. And Elijah appeared to them along with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. Peter responded and said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good that we are here. Let's make 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." For he did not know how to reply, for they became terrified. Then a cloud formed overshadowing them, and a voice came out of the cloud, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." And suddenly, they looked around and saw no one with them anymore, except Jesus alone. As they were coming down from the mountain, he gave them orders not to relate to anyone what they had seen, until the Son of Man rose from the dead. They seized upon that statement, discussing with one another what rising from the dead meant. And they asked him, saying, "Why is it that the scribes say that Elijah must come first?" And he said to them, "Elijah does come first, and he restores all things. And yet, how is it written of the Son of Man that he will suffer many things and be treated with contempt? But I say to you that Elijah has indeed come, and they did to him whatever they wanted, just as it is written of him." And when they came back to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them, and some scribes arguing with them. Immediately, when the entire crowd saw him, they were amazed, and began running up to greet him. And he asked them, "Why are you disputing with them?" And one person from the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I brought you my son, because he has a spirit that makes him unable to speak. And whenever it seizes him, it slams him to the ground, and he foams at the mouth, and grinds his teeth, and becomes stiff. And I told your disciples so that they would cast it out, but they could not do it." And he answered them, saying, "O unbelieving generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him to me." And they brought the boy to him. And when he saw him, the spirit immediately threw him into convulsions, and falling to the ground, he began rolling around and foaming at the mouth. And he asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. It has often thrown him both into fire and into the water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." But Jesus said to him, "If you can, all things are possible for the one who believes." And immediately the boy's father cried out and said, "I do believe. Help my unbelief." When Jesus saw that a crowd was rapidly gathering, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "You mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him, and do not enter him again." And after crying and throwing him into terrible convulsions, it came out, and the boy became so much like a corpse that most of them said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and raised him, and he got up. When he came into the house, the disciples began asking him privately, "Why is it that we could not cast it out?" And he said to them, "This kind cannot come out by anything except prayer." And from there they went out and began going through Galilee, and he did not want anyone to know about it. For he was teaching his disciples and telling them, "The Son of Man is to be handed over to men, and they will kill him. And when he has been killed, he will rise 3 days later." But they did not understand this statement, and they were afraid to ask him. They came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he began to question them, "What were you discussing on the way?" But they kept silent, for on the way they had discussed with one another which of them was the greatest. And sitting down, he called the 12 and said to them, "If anyone wants to be first, he shall be last of all, and servant of all." And he took a child and placed him among them. And taking him in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever receives one child like this in my name receives me, and whoever receives me does not receive me, but him who sent me." John said to him, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to prevent him because he was not following us." But Jesus said to him, "Do not hinder him. For there is no one who will perform a miracle in my name and be able to soon afterward speak evil of me. For one who is not against us is for us. For whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because of your name as followers of Christ, truly I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it is better for him if a heavy millstone is hung around his neck and he is thrown into the sea. And if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than having your two hands to go into hell, into the unquenchable fire. And if your foot is causing you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life without a foot than having your two feet to be thrown into hell. And if your eye is causing you to sin, throw it away. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than, having two eyes, to be thrown into hell, where their worm does not die, and the fire is not extinguished. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good. But if the salt becomes unsalty, with what will you make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves, and be at peace with one another." Hebrews 3. Therefore, holy brothers and sisters, partakers of a heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Jesus. He was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was in all his house. For he has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, by just so much as the builder of the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken later. But Christ was faithful as a son over his house, whose house we are, if we hold firmly to our confidence and the boast of our hope. Therefore, just as the Holy Spirit says, "Today, if you hear a voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me, as on the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers put me to the test, and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with this generation, and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they did not know my ways. And I swore in my anger, they certainly shall not enter my rest." Take care, brothers and sisters, that there will not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God, but encourage one another every day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we keep the beginning of our commitment firm until the end. While it is said, "Today, if you hear a voice, do not harden your hearts, as when they provoked me." For who provoked him when they had heard? Indeed, did not all those who came out of Egypt led by Moses? And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not those who sinned, whose dead bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? And so we see that they were not able to enter because of unbelief. Proverbs 14:1-9. The wise woman builds her house, but the foolish tears it down with her own hands. One who walks in his uprightness fears the Lord, but one who is devious in his ways despises him. In the mouth of the foolish is a rod for his back, but the lips of the wise will protect them. Where there are no oxen, the manger is clean, but much revenue comes by the strength of the ox. A trustworthy witness will not lie, but a false witness declares lies. A scoffer seeks wisdom and finds none, but knowledge is easy for one who has understanding. Leave the presence of a fool, or you will not discern words of knowledge. The wisdom of the sensible is to understand his way, but the foolishness of fools is deceit. Fools mock at sin, but among the upright there is goodwill. Psalm 106:13-31. They quickly forgot his works. They did not wait for his plan, but became lustfully greedy in the wilderness, and put God to the test in the desert. So he gave them their request, but sent a wasting disease among them. When they became envious of Moses in the camp, and of Aaron, the Holy One of the Lord, the earth opened and swallowed up Dathan, and engulfed the company of Abiram, and a fire blazed up in their company. The flame consumed the wicked. They made a calf in Horeb, and worshipped a cast metal image. So they exchanged their glory for the image of an ox that eats grass. They forgot God, their Savior, who had done great things in Egypt, wonders in the land of Ham, and awesome things by the Red Sea. Therefore he said that he would destroy them. If Moses, his chosen one, had not stood in the gap before him to turn away from his wrath from destroying them, then they rejected the pleasant land. They did not believe his word, but grumbled in their tents. They did not listen to the voice of the Lord. Therefore he swore to them that he would have them fall in the wilderness, and that he would bring down their descendants among the nations, and scatter them in the lands. They also followed Baal Peor, and ate sacrifices offered to the dead. So they provoked him to anger with their deeds, and a plague broke out among them. Then Phinehas stood up and intervened, and so the plague was brought to a halt, and it was credited to him as righteousness, to all the generations forever.